As usually happens, I'm adding a couple of verses starting at the beginning of this. And trust me, I will maul most of the words of people's names in this. But hang in there. We'll get there by the time it's over. So listen, I'm reading our Old Testament lesson this day, which comes from Nehemiah. And I'm beginning in the seventh chapter with verse 73 and going through chapter 8, 1 through 10. Listen for God's word. When the 7th month came, the people of Israel being settled in their towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the 7th month. He read it from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him Mattathiah, Sema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Massaniah on his right hand, and Pedaha, Mishael, Malchin, Hashem, Hashbadendam, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. You got all that? You want me to run it again? We know where everybody is now. That's good. And then Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sheribaha, Jaman, Akub, Sabbathai, Hodiah, Masathiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabab, Hannah, Peraleah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So you want me to run through all those names again? I don't want to do it again. I'd have a hard enough time with English, much less with interpretations of Hebrew. And I want you to stop for a second and think about what was written, what was read to you today first, the passages that you've heard, all of them, and part of the Revised Common Lectionary for this week. It does include the names which they take out of the Revised Common Lectionary writings because they don't think that y'all want to hear them, nor do they think pastors want to say them. They're probably right on both hands. But there is a reason that I read them this morning, because they're talking about people. Real people. People who were working in worship to make it better for all of the other people. Bringing people together to worship God takes time and effort. And all of these people who were standing there had been working on this, helping the people of God have a chance to come and hear the word of God. And I think today it is important for us to understand that. Because I'm going to talk to you about something that kind of hit me as I was getting ready for this several months ago, and what it came to me is it's something that I've always thought that this passage was saying is not, I now think, what it is saying. Did you understand that? Could I make that more convoluted? The way I've always read it before is not the way I read it this time. It is important to hear their names. Names so carefully included by the writer. These people who gathered, not just to worship, but to help lead the people in worshiping. To help everyone mark this occasion. This is a wonderful set of readings. And it says so much about God and about the people of God and what we are supposed to be doing. So listen up and we'll see if I can perhaps encourage you into a new line of thinking. Our Luke passage has us here, Jesus participating in the worship in his hometown. He talks of how his presence is the fulfilling of all of God's promises. And how does he do that? How is it accomplished? Jesus reads scripture that says, in short, that he stood up and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Jesus read scripture and proclaimed that God has done for us all these things that make it good to be the people of God. For us as Presbyterians, this is the heart and soul of worship. Hearing the word read and hearing the word proclaimed. Jesus was teaching us how to worship God. He is telling us something about God and himself, his relationship with God, but he is teaching those around him how to worship. It includes reading and hearing scripture. And then looking and listening to it and thinking about it. Another part of this Revised Common Lectionary readings for this particular Sunday is Psalm 19. The psalmist talks of the marvelous things God has created and how the writer is in awe of the gifts God has given to humanity in creation. Again, the joy of God's creation sings to God's love and goodness, thus propelling us to worship in truth. Creation begs us to give thanks to God. Even when it's cold, even when it is dank and dark, it is still a beautiful creation that God made for us to dwell in. It is a good thing. And again, the joy of God's creation sings to God's love and goodness. Our Corinthians passage this morning, we hear how everyone who believes in God, God's goodness and gifting, should use those gifts for the entire congregation. And that no one should be deemed more or less than others in the church. The need for God's people to be in worship together so that all the gifting that each person brings to the whole makes us whole. Without one person, we are not whole. We are not really worshiping correctly if one of the members is not here with us. And this is what made me get to thinking this week about this idea of how we go out and evangelize. I know I'm in a Presbyterian church, and that's not a word we usually use. It's evangelizing. Or how we go about worship and how it works and why we say we want more members. But unfortunately, too often, we want more members so that our budget is better off. We want more money, more people in the pews because it makes us feel better that there's more people around us. Because our traditional way of looking at this is, how do we build up the church? Well, first, we got to make money. Secondly, we got to spend that money wisely. And thirdly, we got to look full so people think we're really doing a good job. What these passages bring to us today is to tell us that is not right. What is right is we need everyone here. The Old Testament lesson, they wrote those names down. Why did they write those names down? Everyone was there, had their name written down. Because every one of those people was important for the whole tribe of the people of God. God wants everyone with their skills, with the things that they have given them, that God has given them. God wants them all together. Everybody. Because everybody brings something to the table that we all need. And say that again. This is not, they didn't write the names down because they were saying, here's proof, we told you and you broke the law, we're going to get you. They said, no, they're written down because it's important to understand everyone brings something to the table. And without one person being here, we lose something. So how does that change us when we talk to people about coming and joining us in this congregation? Let's think about it for a little bit. That's this. And I'm old now, but in one place in my life, I did athletic stuff, and I remember everybody on the team, the coaches always said, you're all a part of the team. And when you were the last guy at the end of the bench, you didn't always feel like you were a part of the team. You know, it's kind of hard when you never actually get out there and do anything, except in practice. But you are. If you're on that team, you are important to that team. And I have had the great good fortune of being with our basketball team for the last 8 seasons or something like that, and watched this grow into a place where everyone is vital, no matter how many minutes they have on the floor. Everyone is listened to. Everyone is raised up for the whole. That's a great thing. But that's not how we think in the church. It's not how we think when we talk to other people about joining us in worship on Sunday. We really don't. We're thinking, oh, other things. Instead of saying, you have stuff that we need. Not your pocketbook. Although that's fine. I do have to get paid. You know, I'm there. I get paid. But the fact is, every person that comes in here to worship and be with us has something to give to us that God wants us to have. Something that makes the whole better. And any one person who does not come means we are not wholly the body of Christ that we are supposed to be. This is a big change in thinking about how to go out into the world and talk about God. We don't need you here just so that we have to build a bigger building. We don't just get people to come to worship because they have money. They're nice people. They've got a good address and a good job. We like them a lot. We should be seeking people who have things that spiritually will build us all better up into better people. Every time we come to this place to worship, whether it's during the week when we have a meal, or whether it's here on Sunday morning, or any other time we have a session meeting, we should be looking for everybody that God wants to send here, not as, woohoo, we got them in here, but what can I learn about God from this person? What are we missing? What do we need? Dr. Bob Hall always talks of windows, different windows of looking for God, and how we never can see all of everything at once. And I started thinking about this week, and I thought, okay, so suppose you're walking around and you come into the woods and just kind of walking, and you see a house, and it's kind of overgrown around it, but there's a window there, and you look in the window and you see a kitchen, and you say, oh, this must be a place where people make food. And then you kind of notice that it goes around, and you walk around and you go to the other side and you look in and you see, well, here's a bed in this room. Oh, it's a house where, like, people can, you know, it's a hotel maybe. You come in, you lay the bed, and you can get your food over here. And then you go around and you see a den in another window. And every one of those you look and see, you change totally what you think this building is all about. In our journey with God, we see through different windows all the time. And some people who are gifted in certain ways see something completely different than we do. They see things that we would have never thought about. And God brings them to us so that we can be complete. This sounds crazy. But if we're missing one person whom God wants us to be in worship with, we're missing something big. We need to be together. That's not really a great thing anymore. We like to all, we worship privately. We do our own stuff. This tells us it's fine. You do your daily devotionals, you do your prayers, but without group settings, you're going to be missing something. You can't get that on TV. You don't get that listening to the radio. You have to be there and join in with everyone else to share what God is trying to teach us all. It's a different way of looking at church. The church that we try to build up and make sure that we last forever because that's what it's supposed to be. No, what God wants us to be is to be fully, wholly together so that we can learn all about God, not just bits and pieces. Worship is about growing closer to the living God. Not just for one, but for everyone. I give thanks that God cares so much to get us these documents from thousands of years ago so that we might grow and do better. Amen.